Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy New Year. I hope that you had some moments of enjoyment and rest and relaxation. It's so good to see you here at church on this Christmas Sunday. Revelation 22. My dear friend, Dr. Danny Akin, likes to say that last words are lasting words. I tend to agree with him. So my last words in 2020 will also be the last words in the book of Revelation, the very last words recorded in the Bible. These will also be the last words and the last sermon that I will preach in a series that I started over 22 years ago, back in 1999, when I moved my family here and I began as a lead pastor of this wonderful church. And for the last 22 years, I have been preaching through every book of the Bible and been on a journey with this church to proclaim the entire counsel of God. So it's a bit sobering for me to stand before you today because the journey is ending. And after this message, I will have preached the entire Bible while serving this very special church. Now, the book of Revelation ends just as it began. It is about Jesus Christ, who is the revelation of God. You see, the whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. From the moment that he spoke creation into existence until the end where he says it is done, the entirety of this book is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And to understand the Bible rightly is to understand that this is God's book. From creation to fall, from God's plan to redeem his people in a covenant relationship until he ushers in his kingdom forever, it is all in its entirety God's story. And this story centers itself upon the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We are simply the blessed beneficiaries of this book, every time we open it up and study it. But to read the Bible without a desire to know Christ and the power of his resurrection is to read this book wrongly. This book tells us about ourselves, that's true. But this book is about Jesus Christ. And Revelation is simply one last revealing of who Jesus is. And it's important for you to understand that there is absolutely no other way to know Jesus outside of this book. There is no other way to know who God is and what God has done for us other than by reading and investigating the pages within the Bible. And every time you turn a page, what you're reading is truth. Because the entirety of the Bible is wholly true. There is no other book like it. It is the only book that answers our ultimate questions and meets our deepest needs. This book and this book alone tells us how to have an intimate relationship with our Creator and our Sustainer and our Savior. And that is why I have spent the last 22 years covering every page of it with you. that's why we will end just as I began this journey, making sure that we find Jesus once again in the text of Scripture. For me, I felt it necessary while I was here to make sure that we covered every chapter of this book. It is just that important. And so let's examine now the last pericope, the last passage of the Bible, Revelation 22, and let's begin the last words of Jesus Christ, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Now, every statement in Jesus' last words would demand our investigation, our contemplation. And to be honest, it would take years for us to truly appreciate these last words of our Savior. There are seven statements, actually, that Jesus makes in Revelation 22 about himself, the very last chapter of the Bible. Back in verse 7, he says to the church, I'm coming quickly, and I'm coming to reward the saints and to judge the sinners. And that everyone who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book will be blessed. Verse 7 and verse 12. Again, he says, I'm coming quickly. In verse 13, he declares himself to be God Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. And here in verse 16, he tells us that he has sent an angel to give witness to every single thing that will happen in the end of history that must be recorded. And he has given these words for the church, for you and I, both to heed and to obey. And so he simply says, I, Jesus, I've sent my angel to give witness to all of these things that will take place. For the churches to take note, for the churches to hear, for the churches to obey, I, Jesus, give testimony of this. And then he declares himself again to be the Lord God, by using the simple statement, I am. I am. These are the same words that he used when Moses, back at the beginning of the book, found himself at a burning bush, and the Lord told him that he needed to go and be used to rescue his people from slavery. And Moses asked him, well, when asked, who should I say told me to go? And in the burning bush, the Lord simply said, I am that I am. The I am is in reference to Yahweh, Jehovah God. In John's gospel, John records on many occasions where Jesus would describe himself as the I am over and over. I am. I am. I'm God. I'm the Lord. And here, once again, one last time, he says, I am the Lord God. The most important confession that a person can make after reading the Bible is simply this: Jesus is Lord. That confession will save you, my friend. Jesus is the I Am. And here he not only declares himself to be God Almighty, but once again, he declares himself to be the great King. He says, I am both the root and the descendant of David. He is the root of King David, meaning he preceded that great king, the one who rose up in God's favor and conquered all of God's enemies. Jesus says, I came before him. I'm his root. But then paradoxically, he says, but I also came after him. I'm his descendant. He is also the descendant of the great king, having been born from his lineage. Now, how can David both come from him and he from David? How can he be both root and shoot? Well, once again, we find ourselves gazing upon the mystery of the incarnation. You see, as Lord and Creator, Christ made King David. But by way of the incarnation, this same Lord and Creator came from King David, making him both David's Lord and future biological son. He propagates David, but he is also David's progeny. Jesus is the great King who creates, and also the great King born in his creation. This is why we declare him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am the Lord God. Both the root and the shoot of King David. And then in his last words, Jesus declares himself to be our Messiah. He says, I am the bright morning star. It was Moses, way back in the book of Numbers, who said that a star would come out of Jacob and a scepter would arise out of Israel. One day, the prophet Isaiah added, a light would come and the nations would experience his glory. And then later, Matthew tells of this interesting group of astronomers, magi, who saw a light in the sky, a star, and they followed it all the way to the Christ child. They saw Jesus there, and they came to worship him. Now, what Jesus is doing by quoting these Old Testament promises is once again reminding us that every single thing contained in the book is about him, and that every promise contained in the Bible must come true because he promised it so. Because he is the I Am, our Lord God, the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then everything recorded will happen. Because of his power, because of his greatness, because of his grace, and by way of his glory, everything recorded in this book about him is going to happen. And the last thing he promises is that he's coming again. I'm coming, he says. And in verse 17, there is this beautiful response to the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. Jesus says, I'm coming. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. You see, as a result of this grand declaration by Jesus that I am coming, the Holy Spirit responds and says, yes, Lord, come. Jesus says, I'm coming. And his bride, the church, that's us, we say, come. Jesus says, I'm coming. And every person to whom God has granted faith to hear and to believe, we say, come. Jesus says, I'm coming. And anyone who has developed a thirst for righteousness, we say, come. And Jesus says, I'm coming. And anybody who would rather right now be in heaven dipping his hand under that spring of living water and drinking and living forever with him, we say, come. Come. As Jesus declares his return, you and I are invited to do something pretty amazing. Jesus invites us to command him to return. I've never commanded Jesus to do anything. We have only tried to live in submission to him, amen? Here we're told to command him, to charge him. As Jesus declares his return, we are to charge him to come back and to usher us into eternity in order to be with him forever. That's why, as a church, we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come and rid this planet of its filth and its corruption. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. And once and for all, defeat and destroy Satan and your enemies. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. And put an end to sickness and to sorrow. Come, Lord Jesus. And throw sin and death into that lake of fire which burns forever. Come, Lord Jesus. And bring heaven down with you when you come. Come, Lord, so that we might pick from that tree of life in Eden, drink from that spring of water, so that we might live forever. Come. Come, Lord. So that one day soon, we'll see your face. Come, Lord. So that one day soon we might feel your embrace. Come, Lord. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins, release us. Oh, let us find our rest in thee. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign with us forever. Now, thy gracious kingdom bring. You know, Christmas is always a time where it's good to be home. There's something important about being home for Christmas. Home is where we find our rest. Home is where we join with family, with friends. It's something about being home that makes Christmas so special. And so too, when Jesus returns, we'll be home with him. He's going to bring our heavenly home when he returns, so that we can be as a family of God forever and ever and ever. Home. That's what we should all long for. Home. That's why we charge Jesus to return. But we know that until he does, we've got to remain on his mission. There's still a lot of people that need to be saved. There's still a lot of gospel that needs to be declared. There's still nations that need to be reached. And there's still churches that need to be established. And so until Jesus brings home with him, there's still a lot of work to do. That's why we remain on mission. We must go and tell others he's coming. And we've told him to come. And not only do we need to go and tell others, we also need to be about the business of inviting saints back home. In 2020, there's a lot of saints of God who've been isolated. They've been lonely. They've been struggling. And if you have been straying from the church, if you're watching this, and you've been straying from your church, please come home. Come home. This fellowship where we stimulate and motivate one another towards love and good deeds. This family that we have established over these many years, this place, this is home until Christ returns. And this is the place today where, as a family, in this house, in this home, we'll gather around the table together. We will consume that which symbolizes Christ and his death for us together. This is home. Today we will join around the elements of the Lord's table, and we will eat and we will drink freely, just as Christ has told us to, as a symbol of what we will do in heaven when we get home. And we want our entire church family to come back and celebrate this with us, to come back home. Well, in verse 18 and 19, John is told to write down one last admonition, one last exhortation. And this is what he says. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. One last and a final warning. One last exhortation about this book. Don't you dare add anything to it, and don't you dare take away anything from it. You must neither add nor subtract. A severe warning given to the churches to whom the book of Revelation was written. Local churches, just like Open Door Church, we must neither add to this book, we must never take away anything from it. Curses and condemnation will be given to anyone who messes with the book. We cannot distort it. We must not alter God's word in any way. That would be to commit high treason and apostasy. I appreciate antiques. I'm not an expert in them by far. But those who are experienced in antiques, they know a treasure when they see one. Whether it's an old piece of furniture or a painting from antiquity, those with expertise after investigation will be able to determine the value of these artifacts. And one of the things that I have learned is that once you lay hold of some precious treasure from antiquity, you don't mess with it. You don't try to fix an antique piece of furniture. The moment you try to add anything to it, even a drop of paint, you've ruined it. You don't take away anything from it. The moment you remove something, you have depreciated its value. How do you make a treasure worthless? You add to it, or you remove something from it. And so true is the most valuable possession in all of antiquity, and that is the Bible, the Word of God. And to add to it or to take away from it will render this book useless. You see, the Bible, in and of itself, is the complete revelation of God. It is a self-contained unity. It is self-sufficient. It is whole. You can't add to it. There's nothing else to add. You can't do what Muslims have attempted to do by adding the Quran, what the Mormon Church has tried to do by adding the Book of Mormon, what the Jehovah Witness cult has tried to do by adding the Watchtower magazine. There's nothing you can add to this book. It is complete. It is sufficient. It is pure. To add anything to the Bible is heresy in the highest of offenses. But neither can you take away from this book. You cannot subtract from the Bible as liberal preachers do all the time, as postmodern scholars attempt, as secularists claim, and as skeptics have attempted to do over the centuries. Cutting parts away from this book, stating these are not God's words. No, my friends. Every word of this book is true, and it contains truth from God. To remove even a portion of a word from this book is absurd and ludicrous. It is all from God, and it is all about God. And our task is not complete until we know the entirety of this book, until we consume all of it. Now, I hope you consume some good food this Christmas. I did. The problem with consuming good food the next day, it's gone. Well, it may hang on us for a little while. When you consume the Word of God, it sticks with you forever. because it is forever. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is worthy of our consumption. And that is why I've spent the last 22 years preaching and teaching you through every chapter of it. It is just that important. Verse 20. The very last words of Jesus. The very last confession of his church. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming quickly. To which the church says, amen. Please come. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes, Jesus says, I promise, I'm coming back to you. I'm going to bring heaven with you. So once again, we understand the purpose of the book of Revelation is for us, the church, to persevere any trial, any tribulation that may come our way, and to prepare ourselves for the return of our King. He's coming. And our response is always yes and amen. The word amen simply means I believe it. Jesus says, I'm coming. We say, I believe you are. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. This particular Bible has been a dear friend to me. For over 20 years now, its leather has been worn through. So many scribbles and marks and notes. So many pages that are frayed, torn. So much of this now is held together by tape. So many of these pages. Soiled with my tears. This old Bible has been a dear friend to me. I was 34 years old. And to be honest, I had more zeal than knowledge. Of how to shepherd. This precious church. This book taught me. This book counseled me. This book challenged me. This book convicted me how to pursue God. This book is going to be retired today. I'm going to set it on my shelf.
a dear friend. Church, I've taken 22 years to preach through the Bible because this book is worthy of our investigation. This book is worthy to challenge us and to convict us and to equip us to be men and women of God. Every book and every chapter of every book has been important for me to preach through because all of it reveals the gospel of God's grace. Every page of this book is just another piece of this grand puzzle. Every chapter, every passage, an important part to the story. And it all reveals Christ, his work on the cross, and his resurrection, and his ascension, and his glorious return. Every piece, every part, every verse is just another facet of this glorious diamond reflecting the perfection of God. And I just felt it was necessary, if the Lord would allow, for me to give all of it to you. And by his grace, he's allowed me to do that. And thank you. There's only a couple here who have been here the whole time. Thank you. You know, the only thing that Open Door has asked of me is to be faithful to this book. And you've allowed me to do that. Thank you. I have done my best to be faithful to this book. And I will continue to be for as long as the Lord will allow. So here is the last and a beautiful benediction to end a very long journey. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Father, we give you thanks for your word, and for the promises contained therein. We give you thanks for your Son, whom now we begin to turn our hearts as we consider the Lord's Supper. This meal, Father, that we get ready to celebrate is a reminder Jesus is going to come again. And we say amen to that. Come, Lord Jesus, so that we can celebrate with our Savior a great wedding feast. Father, thank you for the opportunity I've had these 22 plus years to preach through your book to this wonderful congregation. Grant us many more, Father, if your Son tarries, that we might continue our journey and remain on mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.